Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
What? Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York. My last 50 minutes. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the club and she choosing. Club going up. Keith McPherson on The Fan, Cam to AM. Obviously talking about Shedeur Sanders and the NFL draft. And yeah, the conversation has played out. He's in. He's in the league. He's with a team. He's a Brown. He's fourth on the depth chart. We'll see what happens from here. Now he holds the pen. And, you know, I said I was going to talk about it. Joe Flacco is cooked. If you watch Joe Flacco, not as a Jet. If you watch Joe Flacco, not as a Brown winning comeback player of the year 2 years ago. If you watch Joe Flacco last year, the only reason that he even got a chance to play is because Anthony Richardson is a bonehead. And he's hurt. Joe Flacco is done. Here's my quick degrees of separation. When I was getting recruited out of college playing quarterback, I had my second offer from the University of Delaware. John Key went there. Eddie Conti went there. Those are two legends from Ocean Township High School. I thought I was going to follow in their footsteps. Eddie's dad was a coach at my high school. John Key coached me the year we won the state championship. I thought I was going to Newark, Delaware. I went and hung out with Casey Keeler, all that. I ended up meeting with their offensive coordinator, going over some things, and then not long after that, I got sent a message from a forum that, hey, rumor has it Joe Flacco is transferring from Pitt to Delaware because Tyler Palko is going to beat him out for the starting quarterback job. So the new starting quarterback next year at the University of Delaware, which would have been my freshman year, is going to be Joe Flacco. And I said, all right, cool. Well, I'm ducking that. I wanted to go to JMU anyway. 68% girls down there in Harrisonburg. I'm going to go be a Duke. But I already mentioned Pittsburgh University, right? In my town, when that is all going on, I'm being recruited at age 17. There's a 7-year-old kid coming up by the name of Kenny Pickett. And by the time Kenny is 11, I'm 21 and I coach him at the Big Red football camp. Kenny grew up watching me play quarterback at Ocean High School. He would come to Friday Night Lights and watch my varsity games. I started quarterback sophomore, junior, senior year. Kenny goes on to Pittsburgh University and becomes the best quarterback out of there since Dan Marino. Now they're reunited on the Cleveland Browns. They were never united, but there's my connection with both of them. Kenny Pickett played quarterback at my high school. Flacco was at a college that I got recruited by and didn't go to because he was coming there. And then I told the story about Flacco. I was on the sideline at JMU and got to warm up not far from Flacco. And I'm like, this guy's NFL. Tall, cannon arm. And there was one play where he broke a run up the sideline and he ran past me and I could like feel the wind. I'm like, this guy's a horse. So now that's the Brown quarterback room. But Flacco is done, man. The pride of Audubon, New Jersey. Joe Flacco, if he's 2 years older than me. No, he's not. Exactly. If I was a freshman, he's 40. He's 4 years older than me. So like I was coming in and he was about to be on his way out. He's 40, bro. There was a video of Dion at Shedeur's watch party, draft party, where he says, Joe Flacco, who the Browns got? Joe Flacco, he my age. And in my head, and even online, I'm like, Dion shouldn't be saying that. Don't disparage a team that could draft your son. They just decided to bring Joe Flacco back. He's the last quarterback that brought them to the playoffs. You need a place for your kid to land, and that is a legit place. Kenny Pickett, I love Kenny. Shout out to his family. Shout out to all the good folks from Big Red Country where we both grew up. The knock on Kenny in the combine was that his hands were too small. We call him Kenny Two Gloves. Kenny is now on his third team in 3 years. He was drafted by the Steelers. He played and lived his dream and won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, the team he grew up rooting for. But now Kenny is a Brown. I would give him the best shot to start. But Kenny got hurt last year in his brief time getting to start because Jalen Hurts was there. Next thing you know, you see Tanner McKee. Kenny is not that big of a guy, honestly. He doesn't have a big frame. And then that leads us to Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. He's not a big guy either. He's not a super fast, athletic guy. I think he's a good quarterback. He ended up in the Heisman voting or whatnot. But, like, can Shedeur beat him out? Can Shedeur win the locker room over him? Yeah. Is Shedeur coming in with an Audemars Piguet and a Lamborghini and millions of more followers? Hell yeah. So we'll see. The ball don't lie. When they get on that field, like, there is a chance. And they're the Cleveland Browns. They've made 100 mistakes at quarterback. Like, the fact that they double back, bro, something was up. Something was up. Because I was live Saturday when this happened. They traded up to get Dylan Gabriel, I believe. Or no, the pick that they took Dylan Gabriel with, I think, came from a trade. But they take Dylan Gabriel, and then their next pick is to take Shador Sanders? That don't make any sense. Did the owner say, hey, you got to take him off the board? It's us. Nobody else will? Like, this is getting out of hand now. It's a fifth-round pick, 144. Or there were supposedly rumors, right, because Kyle McCord went right after. There was rumors that the Eagles, like, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman and them, like, they took a second-round quarterback in Jalen Hurts, and look what he turned into. They're not afraid of anything. They don't look at Deion and his son and have any fear that he's going to come in and undermine anybody or whatever. Like, the Eagles are about to take him. And so the Browns said, all right, we'll punch the ticket. And everybody saw that video. Everybody saw them doing a little, like, not even a golf clap. It was so pathetic, right? It was so pathetic that it just looked like they didn't want to do it. Like, it looked like Andrew Berry was like, oh, here we go with the media circus and the nonsense that we're going to have to deal with bringing this kid in. 888-808-1019. Ralph is in Long Beach on the Fan. Go for it, Ralph. Ralph, are you still with us? Okay, Ralph might have went to bed. Out in California, Tom should be awake because the time zone is different, you know?
I sure am awake, man. Thanks for taking the call. You know, Stefanski and Barry are Harvard guys. They're pretty smart, so I think they kind of knew what they were doing on picking Dylan Gabriel to thwart the circus that would have happened and taking Shador. But this is it's not about Shador. If Dylan Gabriel was 4 inches taller in this year's draft, because it was not that strong, he's a first-round quarterback. Every year leading up to the draft, you hear all this mashuga about what's going on with all the draft picks, but people don't watch the games on Saturdays. You have to watch the games. Dylan Gabriel has the most starts of any college quarterback in the history of the game. His decision-making and playmaking when the games are most crucial is superb. Look at his resume against top competition, what he did in 2023, the game against Dallas in the Red River rivalry game. Watch this guy make plays. You have to watch the games and see how he plays and can you play the position? That's what this comes down to. And he knows how to play the position. So yes, the measurables matter, but so do the intangibles. And this guy has proven it. Shador hasn't proven it.
The only knock on him is, and why I think Shador can beat him out is, Dylan Gabriel had to run. He had to go to three different schools. He was beat out in multiple places or had to leave multiple places. Why did he have to move around so much if he had so many of the intangibles and, like, you know, was that guy?
Yes, I can tell you why. Because in Oklahoma, Brett Venables played the wrong card. He went in with Jackson Arnold saying, we don't need you, Dylan Gabriel. We'll take Jackson Arnold. And we know how that worked. I watch a lot of college football. You got to watch. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying in general.
No, I'm not claiming to. I'm thinking of some of the games that I saw from him this year. And obviously, I know, you know, Bo Nix was there and then he came in this year. So, and Oregon, you know, they're a machine. I'm not claiming that I watch a lot of college football. It's tough to, especially when your job is to talk pro sports. Definitely more when I was younger. But the little bit I saw of him, I'm like, he's not a big guy. He's had to play at three different schools. I know he was highly touted coming out, but I'm like, I don't know how his for him to be 5'11 and 200 pounds, I don't know how that's going to fare in the NFL.
I agree. And that's a little bit of a concern. If he was a little bigger, that's why I said in this year's draft, he definitely would have been a first-round pick because he has the intangibles. He also has the starts, and starts matter. Brock Purdy, 49 starts. Bo Nix, 55 starts. Jalen Daniels, 49 starts. It's no surprise that those guys are very successful now that they're at the NFL. They've played in big games. They've played in big stadiums on the road in front of large crowds.
Yeah.
But, you know, the move, you know, he started at UCF, so it's not a big school, and then he made a name for himself and other programs that are bigger.
It's funny, Brandon, I actually know Brandon Wimbush's brother, Brandon Wimbush, who was at Notre Dame and then transferred to UCF, and then Dylan Gabriel came in when he went down. No, I'm not trying to knock his. And honestly, I talk a lot about last year's draft class and how quarterbacks need reps, and how when you looked at Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and Jaden Daniels, they had reps at two different schools, you know, Power Five conferences, and look at how that transfers to the league, because you've seen so many defenses, you've been in so many situations. Yeah. Anything that gets thrown at you, for the most part, it's not foreign. You know how to react or what to do or where to go with the ball.
It's very true, and it matters when you get to the NFL. So, you know, it's not everything, but it's something. And same, I mean, we can look at it. You mentioned Anthony Richardson a moment ago. He had 14 starts. It's not a surprise that he's struggling right now to play in the league.
Right.
Jackson Dart, you know, yes, the Giants had a good draft. I think Scadaboo is going to be great, and people in New York are going to love him. But you look at Jackson Dart, he transferred out of USC because he couldn't beat Keaton Slovis, and Keaton Slovis didn't get drafted. So that's something to think about. And you look at Jackson Dart's game.
And then he
Florida,
played 3 years at Ole Miss?
Right.
That's a lot. That's a lot of SEC experience, and it does play, because you get thrown into these situations in the NFL and you're not swimming in the deep end. You've already swam in pretty deep waters with that experience. No, I hear you with Dylan Gabriel. I won't write him off as Shador can automatically beat him out, but there becomes other things, right? Like, now we are in the business of this thing. You know, I think somebody called to say that Shador lost money. Well, yeah, if he was a first-round pick, I think I had a stat, you know, $45 million if he was a top-three pick. He's going to make $4 million as the 144th pick. That's a much, like, cost-friendly investment for the Browns to take a $4 million, you know. But there's things that come in. You know, the NFL is advertising his jersey. The NFL is pinning, you know, his, like, the NFL understands his traction online. He's got 2.4 million Instagram followers. So the NFL is playing into that. He's got a ton of fans, not just black people, but like kids. When you go to the NFL on Instagram, I'm putting it on my live right now, the first post is Shador Sanders tagged, and Cam Ward is the third. They played Shador Sanders highlights during Cam Ward being picked. They barely showed Cam Ward. It was absolutely insane.
No, it's true. It did take over the draft, obviously, and I feel bad for, you know, all the other kids who were there to get picked. Like, everybody, it overshadowed everything. And I understand why it's the age that we live in today. I don't like it, but I mean, that's where it's at.
It just is where we are. Tom, thank you for the call and the insights. And I agree with you as far as, like, because it's something that I've driven home on the station about these guys need reps, but Dylan Gabriel's just undersized to me. And I don't know, maybe he picks up the playbook. Maybe he picks up Kevin Stefanski's playbook better than Shador. But I just think there are other things in play now that you're in the game. That's why I said about Shador, he's fine. Nothing happened to him. He did get drafted. He is in the NFL now. The dream is realized. They just humbled the hell out of him and his entire camp on the way in. 888-808-1019. From the prank calls and, you know, with the prank call with Jax Ulbrich. And I just think these kids are stupid nowadays. If you're going to do something like that, why film it? I wouldn't have told anybody. I would have had somebody get the lab. Like, they needed the click stuff. They needed the like stuff. They needed the retweets. They needed people to know we did it. We pulled it off. That's stupid. And, you know, the conversation around, like, the Giants was that he went into a meeting with Brian Daboll. And, of course, he's not blown off a meeting with the Giants. He did all that signaling. He did all that pretending that, oh, it was a lock that he was going to be a Giant. He had the cleats. He came to New York. He got the white Air Forces with blue and red, you know, laces in them. He went and hung out with Malik Nabers and all that. But, like, in the meeting with Brian Daboll, you're entering a meeting with a football savant, an offensive mind for real. If you're not prepared in that setting, you're going to get embarrassed. I've been there. I've been in meetings. I think I told this on my live on Saturday. I remember it snapped me back into reality that, like, yo, you're here as a student athlete. You're on scholarship. I was third string quarterback. First year we were playing UNC. I go into a quarterbacks only meeting the day before we travel to UNC, and my coach is on the whiteboard drawing up what defense UNC runs, Chapel Hill. And I'm thinking, well, I'm the third string. Why do I need to know this stuff? He gave me the DVD a couple days ago to watch on my own, gave me a little pamphlet. I glanced at it, but I didn't really know it. And he starts getting deep into like what we're going to run on third down, what formation, how are they going to cover it? And even though it was only three of us in there, not knowing it and being put on that spot, that feeling, I was sick. It's like, wow, I just got caught with my pants down. I just got caught unprepared, unknowing. And like, and that was when I was, he was like, yo, you need to know this stuff. He's like, I remember Drew, my boy Drew. He's like, Drew is one play away. Keith, you're two plays away. You need to know this stuff. And so imagine Shador going into a meeting where they say he was wearing heavy cologne. There was another report that he took a FaceTime call in a meeting. Imagine going into a meeting with Brian Daboll, who knows offense and defense inside out. And we saw how he quizzed Jaden Daniels. We saw how he quizzed Drake May. And Shador Sanders, just even his tone and the way he speaks is not that like sharp and confident. And if you don't know, right, if the Giants gave you a book of plays and like an install and you didn't memorize and you didn't come down with it and you didn't perform well there, you blew it. You blew it. But meanwhile, Jackson Dart, we've heard only good things about. And so that's why they went and got him. And it wasn't Shador. It's not just a race thing. It is not just a power thing. It is not just a fear thing. There's so many things that popped up. Oh, they're scared of a confident black man. No, they're not. Like, the Giants drafted Abdul Carter. The first thing he did was ask Lawrence Taylor for his jersey. You know how confident you got to be to ask arguably the best defensive player of all time while he's still living to get on the phone with this man and ask him if you can wear his number? You have to be a psychopath. Like, it isn't so much the confidence. It is the full package of you're Deion Sanders' son. You're not Deion. Like, your level at quarterback is not that level. You know, these scouts and these NFL personnel, these people travel, man. Some of them work in college for a year, then they're in the NFL. Some of them work in the NFL later. Like, and they talk. And I try to tell you guys that, like, Shador was never just a five-star guy. He was good. He was tough. He could throw. But he had his dad. His dad has been his coach. That's another thing, too. Your daddy's been your head coach since you were in high school. How are you going to feel with Brian Daboll as your head coach ripping you a new one? It's tough. Ralph out in Long Beach. I think he might be awake. Let's see. Ralph.
They had too much bike riding there. I ride the boardwalk.
Oh, good, man.
Miles.
You're in there. And, talk to us.
Yeah, so I'm a Giant fan for 50 years, and I'm telling you, my son went to Arizona State. Scataboo, scataboo, scataboo.
Oh, this man. It's on. It is on and popping with that kid.
That kid is the answer to the pain. He's the cure for my disease. I love this guy.
Going to make you forget about Saquon. You're going to forget all about Saquon this year.
What about Saquon? I don't know about that. This kid, when he was 10 years old, he's bouncing off telephone poles. This guy's the answer to the pain. I'm telling you, this dude ran up a Texas. He told me that Texas line. I love this guy. I love the draft. And I love your show. Yeah, took a little nap being 70 and hit the boardwalk. But I love Scataboo. My son. I've seen a couple of times Arizona State. The kid is the real deal. His heart is there. You have heart. You got everything. And you know that being an athlete. I just think this kid is a steal.
Yeah.
I think
he's going to put in the work. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything besides lift weights and run the football, man. And you need that. You need he's a lunch pail guy. I think he's going to fit in here. I think Giants fans are going to love him. Like I said, I think he is. You bring him in the second half. I might not even give him any first half carries. I'm keeping him fresh to close games, to kill the clock, to move the chains. When people don't want to tackle anymore, you're going to hear them in there like, boo, or scat, or whatever they end up chanting for this guy as he's running people over.
He is going to run people over. Remember when we had the two running backs? What was the kid from Marshall we had? You know, and
Brandon, Ahmad Bradshaw.
That was lightning and thunder. I say go with that again. And Bradshaw, he wouldn't go down, the little kid from Marshall. And I think we can do it. I'd say Tracy, get his fumbles down. I love this guy. I'm going to buy a Scataboo shirt because I'm telling this guy is the answer. I just love him. And your show is fantastic, the way your knowledge. And one day at a time, here we go. Let's go.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the compliment. And I'm happy for Giants fans because it feels like you've been in darkness for so long. And just knowing that you have some kids like this in the building, some different kind of people in the building. And now you're really turning the page. Like, this is Shane and Dable's team. Like, you have lost a lot of the Gettleman pieces, and it took some years to get away from mistakes that Gettleman made in the draft. They're not picking up Evan Neal's fifth option, and you know, they have enough offensive line depth. They better figure that out. And this defense, Shane Bowen, year two, you better have these guys rushing the passer again, leading the league in sacks. Like, their calling cards got to be up front that they are going to hit people. Josh is in Passaic on the Fan next. You got it, Josh.
Yo, Keith, what's popping, my guy?
You know, talking the talk. I feel like I am in a unique position to talk these kind of talks, and that's why I share my own playing experience and my knowledge as a fan, and I try and bring it all together to articulate, like, what I really think about everything, and I hope that people understand.
Of course. Anyway, a few things around the draft, and like, as you were saying, like, but what people say, sometimes you just gotta laugh at. Like, racism, like, the Giants' first pick was a guy that's black, and, like, look around the league, like, it's whoever's saying racism is, like, talking about the wrong sport. Like, how many white cornerbacks do you
know
see?
You know what it is, Josh, and I've talked to a lot of black people about it, and family members and friends. I said, it's not that low-level racism of, like, we're not picking a black player. Like, why was Warren Moon not drafted? That was racism. The NFL wasn't ready for a black quarterback when Warren Moon could have come into the league and lit the league up. That was racism. I had him on WFAN. I got to talk to him. He blazed a trail. Shedeur Sanders, it's low-level racism, but what it is in the grand scheme is black people raising up Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Shiloh, Travis Hunter, right? Like I said, there are black people watching the University of Colorado all year, myself included. They became like this black university, black Twitter tweeting about them. All these rappers going out there from BX the Plug, the Boss Man D-Lo, to Lil Wayne, to Cam and Mace. It became this like black college football mecca. And so there are some black people, and I don't speak for all black people, but there are some black people that are following the story, and they feel like, damn, no matter what you do, as a black man in America, you could be so successful. You could be Deion. You could have Deion's kids. You could do what they did. And there's still somebody that's going to stop you, that's going to bar you to entry, that's going to say, nah, like, not over here. You can't do what you think you do, or your power is not working here. Like, it's that level of racism that it felt like. But when you actually shrink it down, and I just was doing this in the chat, shrink it down to the amount of teams that needed quarterbacks. Shrink it down to the amount of teams that took quarterbacks. Don't look at it as an entire league colluding. There's a lot of teams that he was never on their draft board. They've got three quarterbacks on the roster. There's a lot of teams that were never interested. They scouted him and they said, we don't like his style. He's not going to fit our system. There's a lot of teams that said, we don't want the media circus. It wasn't about like black and white. There's so many other things that had to do with it than black-white stuff at that minor level of idiotic racism of people not liking someone because they're black. It's not that.
Yeah, it's one thing if it was like hockey or something, you know, and there was some crazy talented black player and he didn't get picked. You want to say because there's not so much black players there, but like look around the NFL and like Dable and Joseph, and they're job hungry right now. They're trying to keep their jobs. Why would they let that get in the way of them trying to keep
their
jobs?
If Shedeur was good enough, if his tape was good enough, and if his approach at the combine and these meetings were good enough, they would have taken him. Because honestly, him being famous already, rich already, coming to New York, that part wouldn't faze him, right? They would take him, but it did not match. And that is why if you take anything from my statements about Shedeur Sanders and why he fell and Deion Sanders and why he fell, they were too confident. They overplayed their hand for the talent that this kid had or doesn't have. If he was coming in as Jaden Daniels, you got it. He ain't Jaden Daniels, though. Like, that's the thing. You can't be so confident. You can't stand on that mic and say, don't get me. You told the league that if they don't, like, you told, don't tell somebody don't get you. It's a job interview. Don't tell anybody what you are and what you aren't. And don't try and play games like Deion said, oh, yeah, there's some teams that we're going to not. You think people don't listen to all that? They listen to everything, bro. There are people studying him and Cam Ward as they were working out together. He's saying to Cam Ward, yo, let's make a song. Cam Ward said, I don't make songs. He said, you don't have any other hobbies? No. When they looked me up, I wanted to say Cam Ward, American football. Laser focus on, I'm a quarterback. I play football. Shedeur, he's a model. He's a rapper. He's this, he's that. And he also plays football because that's a family business.
And this also shows you why the NFL is king versus, let's say, sport like the NBA, why it's starting to die down. You'll ask people that have watched the game for years, what's gone wrong with the NBA that's been that? If you look at viewership, it's been declining for the last decade. And they'll tell you is that the league's become run by players. And when it's run by players, it's just dumb. You can have a team that's built up nice traits for a big player, and the guy decides one day he's not down for the team anymore. They don't even have to be doing too bad. Maybe they lost a few games, something happened, and he's like, get me out. Now look at the NFL. And you look at Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders. They're trying to move things around. They're like, let's go run the show here, and they didn't. And this shows you can, well, the NFL is king, and basketball is declining.
Because there has to be structure. There has to be hierarchy. And, like, who was it? It was McNair who passed, who used to run the Texans. He got a lot of flack for saying not letting the inmates run the asylum. And people thought he meant it as, like, a slave type thing, like a slave master and slave owner. No, what he's saying is, this is my property. This is my team. Nobody's coming in here bigger than me, telling me what to do, telling me what players to sign and draft and trade or how we're going to do things. I own this. There are no black owners in the NFL. There are a few black GMs. There's a handful of black head coaches. So that is when people start to talk racism about, oh, like they're not letting them in. No, they let them in. But it's like, you can't come in and be bigger than your teammates, your coach, the GM, and the franchise. Humble yourself or you'll get humbled. And this was an exercise in humbling TF out of them. They humbled them to the point where it went from must be the money, all this glitz and glam night one, to, oh, well, we'll get him tomorrow. He'll be the first pick in the draft tomorrow, to, damn, Friday, Saturday, and the whole world talking about him. People actually feeling bad for him. They're starting campaigns where his fans and people that are finding Shedeur are only buying his merch. He's making more money off this. Shedeur does not have to play in the NFL. And I give him credit for it, right? He could have just laid up with his dad's money. But he chose to play football, and he chose to play the hardest position. And I think they just got a little ahead of their skis. And the NFL showed you that, like, you have power, yes. NIL made you money, yes. But if you're entering the Shield, if you're entering this league, tone it down a little bit, right? You want to be drafted. It is a privilege to be in the NFL. We have to choose you. Everybody doesn't get picked. And you are not that good where we should be lining up for you. And you could tell us, don't pick you or whatever. Like, it's just not like that. Like, and they learned a tough lesson. And that's why I said, I don't know how I didn't see it. I didn't know how I didn't see the NFL script playing out. Shedeur was the perfect one to get people to watch this whole damn draft. He was the perfect one to show that, like, yeah, outside of the NFL, you're a millionaire. Outside of the NFL, you got millions of followers. You did a lot. But what, you haven't done anything here. You haven't done anything in the NFL yet. Tone it down.
And more proof to what I was saying and that you're saying is that how weird would it be if you saw some quarterback on a team request a trade? Like that, you'd be like, what is going on?
It becomes
like it's not that type of sport.
It becomes a circus. When Colin Kaepernick had some teams once it cooled off that were going to bring it in, but it's not worth it. Your backup quarterback should not be, you know, when the media scrum happens, your fourth string, third string quarterback shouldn't have a bunch of people talking to him. But they're going to talk to him because he's the story. They're going to talk to him because he's getting clicks, because he's already a star. Sometimes it's too much to manage. These teams have to win. If he isn't coming in and adding to the team to help them win, what is he adding? A lot of extra nonsense.
And then one quick thing before I go to the Mets. With the NBA, I find it so funny every time they put out an article like, oh, we missed this foul call. Like, enough. Like, you can go at the game like the guy in the Pacers did last year, one of the teams the Knicks played, and found 80 calls. Like, we don't need the NBA for that. Go start telling us plays. We call the foul that's not a foul, because it seems everything, any play that ever happens is all the foul stuff. But looking first at my Mets, Keith, it's crazy. This guy Griffin Canning, it literally grew him in the system. I never heard of this
they
guy
changed
before
him.
This
I
year.
Heard him. I seen him with the Angels,
he's
the Yankees.
High on Mets pitching lab. That's what he is right now. And every jam, this guy becomes like Superman. He's like a closer. It's nuts, man. But listen, we'll enjoy it, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for calling, Josh. We got to break it down, and hopefully we can break it down, come back, and I can take all of these calls. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. throws. Deep left, it is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
And if you don't know, now you know it was all a dream. You know, shout out to the 8 players on Deion's Colorado Buffalo team last year that did get drafted, right? Deion helped put a lot of those kids in the NFL, and that was their dream, right? They come to play under an NFL Hall of Famer, and they go to the NFL. Something I will say, too, another thing about, like, it's not a race thing. It's not even a talent thing. It's a whole package presentation thing. The school with the most drafted wide receivers wasn't Ohio State, wasn't Georgia, wasn't Alabama, wasn't USC, Clemson, none of that. The school with the most drafted wide receivers, that means all of these teams that drafted these wide receivers, they watched Colorado film and they watched Shedeur Sanders throw these wide receivers the ball. Let's go to Tony in Montreal and the Fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith? Great to talk to you again.
You too. I'm good.
I love. Listen, you know, we're talking about Shedeur, right? And you hit it on the head. The PIL contracts or that he made millions of dollars, and he has a lot of money. He never has to play any sports whatsoever. I'm sure when you were playing quarterback for the college teams you were playing for, and when I was playing NCAA hockey, I would have loved to have that opportunity to make $10,000 in a year. I would have been so happy. But these guys are playing for $1.9 million, and they're in college. So. Yeah.
$10,000 would have been great, but these kids are cashing millions.
Bro, if I would have made 10 grand, I would have paid for my school for a year. I would have been so happy. My dad would have loved me, you know? But I just want to talk about what you're talking about, the low-grade kind of racism versus the, you know, the petulant and let's say a divisive, like 1950s Brown versus Board of Education, you know, segregation, racism. There's a large degree of difference, okay? And I just want to mention one thing about racism in sports, okay? You know, I'm a hockey guy. I played hockey. I have played in the U.S. I played in Canada, and I recruit. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking for two things. I'm looking for speed and size. And I don't care where they come from. I don't care what color they are. They have to have speed and size. Everything else we can manage. But when people say to you, Keith, that, or someone says in New York media or national media that it was collusion, it was racism, and it was this type of racism, I don't believe so. Because if you look at black versus white athletes in the first round of the NFL draft, 26 out of 32 athletes, 81.5% were black athletes. Now, this is not a racist thing. This is those talented players. I watched the draft. I read about each one of those players because I was interested in Shedeur. And I'm saying to myself, well, this is a great athlete. He's like the number one defensive lineman in the entire country. And he played at this school in the SEC, where, you know, this is a powerhouse school for defense. And then you get one after another of amazing defensive players. And in football, defense wins. And I mean, in hockey, in the playoffs, defense wins. And I look at what you've been saying, and I've been following this with different types of people. Look, you know, we talked about Tyler Shuck. Remember I called you a long time ago, and you said it's too early for the draft. But I mentioned Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
And you said 6'5", 219, and he was rated back then at 84%. Jackson Dart was 6'2", 215 at 87%. Cam Ward was 6'2", 219 at 92%. But in the quarterback ratings, Shedeur was down at 75.5. Now, you may say, like you said, he may not be all of what he thinks he is. And I love what you said. Be humble or be humbled. And let me tell you something. Deion Sanders is one of the greatest athletes. I've said this to you, an icon athlete. But that doesn't mean because your dad is an icon, you are an icon. You got to prove it on the field. And a little bit of humility goes a long way, especially when you walk into the Giants. They give you a pre-draft program and say, listen, you got to tell me what's in this book. I want to see what your retention level is. They do that in hockey. They do that in the NHL draft. If you come in there with headphones on and you're like taking calls, it gets around the league. And you're right. There was not 32 teams after one quarterback. There may be six or seven. But the thing is, why would you destroy yourself? Why would you burn yourself? You gave up $44 million when you dropped out of 1, 2, 3. The top draft choice out of the NFL got $48 million. The second one was $44 million, and it drops by $4 million per draft choice, right? So you end up with $979,000 a year versus your receiver who ends up being second, okay, and he gets $44 million. And I think you're right. When you have a helicopter dad that's coaching you in high school football, then at one university, then another, I think the NFL looks at that and says, maybe you're not as good as it, that you all have made out to be. What do you think, Keith?
Yeah, of course, because you always have protection. Thanks for the call, Tony. You always are protected by your dad. Your dad is meeting the media. He's never throwing you under the bus. Your dad is bringing in Pat Shurmur to run the offense and try and get you pro ready and make sure you're good there. They don't know if you can actually take real coaching. They don't. There's so many red flags. It's so simple. His talent did not match his bravado. But we live in a time, and this is something I'm worried about for my own son, because I see through it. I used to work in social media. We live in a time where people think they are what social media says they are. There is real life, and there is this virtual reality fake life. Because he has 2.4 million followers, because all of these people are pulling up saying, you're the best quarterback in the draft. Even like the Mel Kuypers, and I think like Skip Bayless was like, oh, they made a mistake taking Cam Ward number one. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Because Cam Ward is laser focused on football. Cam Ward, and I didn't like this too because I think this is racism, but a lot of people were talking about Cam Ward came in with a modest chain. Cam Ward has a big-ass chain. I actually clipped it from my notes. But I didn't like the racism of, like, you know, some people don't want to see you be too flashy. Black man, turn it down a little bit. We get it. Can't look how Cam Ward presented. One little small chain and just a pin for his alma mater. Meanwhile, Shador had the big icy pendant. And then I look at Complex Sports today and it says Shador wasn't the only player in 2025 to tap in with Taji Diamonds. And Cam Ward had a custom CW piece, a huge CW diamond-encrusted piece. But you know what? He chose not to wear it on the world stage. He chose not to flex. Even knowing he was going to be the number one overall pick, he chose to be modest. He chose to be humble. And, you know, Dion and Shador, they're God-fearing men. They speak a lot about God and it being God's plan. Shador spoke to his draft party, and the first thing he said was, we all know this wasn't supposed to happen. Do we? Do we all know this was? He's like, but it's God's plan. And I bought into it too. Like, yeah, God has a plan for you. But God's plan wasn't for you to lose all that money. God's plan wasn't for you to be made an example of. But now it's in your hand. God prepares us for all the battles and struggles and things that we go through. So let's see if Shador really wants to be a football player. If he really wants to be an NFL quarterback. He's got one of the top-selling jerseys already. I saw trending. New Browns quarterback Shador Sanders jersey is the first jersey that pops up on NFL's shop. Of course it is. And his little graphic is the first thing that pops up because he is polarizing. He is what social media says he is. But I'm telling you, once you get on that field, the Instagram followers don't come with you. Daddy can't come with you now either, but he's going to come with him. Dion's his agent. And they said, you know, Dion already said, yeah, he's coming to Cleveland to see what the plan is for his son. Don't. Let him go. You're not helping anymore. You helped and you didn't. I understand being a father and wanting to help your kid. There's nothing left to do. He's in the NFL and they don't want you hovering over their franchises, undermining them. Even the thought about, oh, well, wherever Shador goes, that team in the later round is going to draft Shiloh. And then if their coach sucks in a year, Dion's coming in. Like, it was preposterous. All the narratives and things that got made up and put out there. This is the NFL. This is the biggest league in this country. They print money. All of these owners got money. And all these guys want to keep their jobs as GMs and head coaches in the NFL. They're not signing up for a player that doesn't grade out as all time. They're not signing up for a player that doesn't have the speed and the other intangibles, but comes with all of this other stuff. And again, Shador is a good kid. He doesn't have a sexual assault like Isaiah Bond, who went undrafted, right? Because Howie Roseman came out, I think, was he at the Super Bowl? He was somewhere where he said, if a guy has something like that on his resume, we don't even entertain him. And good. But we've seen crazier stories of guys dropping for, I don't know, a gas mask on their face. We've seen guys drop. We've seen Jalen Carter drop only to 10 because he was in a race where someone lost their life. If you have the talent, they will overlook a lot of things. But this was the perfect storm. This was the perfect storm of a guy that had enough talent to be a top prospect, but free fall because it wasn't a draft where a lot of teams needed quarterbacks. And because of Deion Sanders and the presentation, they overplayed their hand. It's simple. The Deion Sanders effect, it worked at Jackson State. It worked at Colorado. And Shador came in telling these guys, like, if you don't want to change the culture, history repeats itself. I did it at Jackson State. I did it at Colorado. That is amateur hour. This is the NFL. Let's go to Berkeley, California, and talk to Ahmad. What's up, Ahmad? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking the call, man. First things first, I appreciate the show. I've been listening to you only the last few months, but best of luck, man. You're great.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about the Giants in general, a couple of things about the NFL. Like, one person I think we should give props to is John Mara. I mean, towards the end of last year, I was actually really worried. I thought they were going to kind of listen to the fan base because for the most part, people wanted to get rid of Shane and Dable. And I really wanted them to stick with them. You know, I was a firm believer that they were still dealing with all the Gettleman stuff. I think people underestimate how much Gettleman destroyed this organization for those years. So I wanted to give Mara props. He doesn't get much of that.
I wouldn't give him props, yeah, because they still got to go out there and win.
It's true, true. But, I mean, they could have fired them last year and kind of who knows where we would be right now, you know, as far as coach and draft.
I always say, like, you can give them a little pat on the back, like, good job so far, good draft.
Yeah. All right, let's do that. So a second thing, though, for me, amongst all this talk about racism, yada, 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 it kind of got lost in it is me, my family's Muslim, and I have a 3-year-old son, so I wanted to give Abdul Carter props, the first ever Muslim player to be drafted top 3 in the NFL. That's big for representation for my son and just for Muslims in general. I think that's a great positive thing. So I wanted to give Abdul and his family props for that. It was great seeing them on draft night dressed up in their Muslim garb. And
yes,
that was great for me and my family. And one last thing, man, just about the racism. I mean, with Shador, I think, we deal in extremes a lot now in this country. And like anyone that's saying that racism wasn't involved, I mean, this is the NFL where they had to implement Rooney rules to just even get black faces to be interviewed in this league. So, like,
you can't take it out. And I heard a lot of different radio hosts and people try to say, well, get out of here. That's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's a higher level racism than the low level black and white. These are powerful black men that a lot of these owners and people in the NFL decided to show them. You're powerless over here.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So that's pretty much all I wanted to get off my chest, you know. I appreciate you taking a call, Keith. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Last call of the night goes to Epi in Neptune. Epi, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I'm a big fan of yours. Big fan. You're my favorite host on the Fan. I feel like, you know, we've met before. But basically, I want to talk about the Mets, basically. You know, let's talk about Soto. I mean, Soto, he shined under the Yankees because that was the greatest stage. He played with Judge. He played with some great players. And that was the greatest stage in all of baseball. And then you give him all this money. You give him all the money, the most money in sports. Not only in baseball, in sports for a player. He's too comfortable. He's way too comfortable. He doesn't care anymore. He's not trying hard. I could tell he doesn't care anymore. So the thing is that they paid him way too much money, basically, and he's playing with some great players, Alonso and Vientos and Nemo. They're stepping up. They're going. The Mets are winning. The Mets have a great record. I'm just waiting for Soto to really become the best player in baseball like he's supposed to.
Get him to the postseason. Get him to games that mean more later in the season. Get him to Sunday Night Baseball. Get him to matchups against the Yankees in the Subway Series. Like, you got the, thanks for the call. You got the guy that has a slow heartbeat when it is prime time, right? You said he shined on the biggest stage. They ain't been on a big stage yet. They've been to Marlins Park. They've been to Nationals Park. They've been to Target Field. It's the first month of the season. I don't know. I watch every at-bat from Juan Soto. I just think that, like, you have a guy that when everybody else tightens up, when everybody else can't perform, he's the same. So get him to the big stage. Get him to the big moments. And then he's worth the big money that you paid him. Thanks for listening to my show. Keep McPherson on the fan. I'll see you tomorrow night, later tonight.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.